Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is today's gospel, especially these words to his disciples. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, I think one thing that we all have in common is that we like to have control. We like to have control of our lives. We like to have control of the circumstances around our lives. Now, some people are a little worse than that than others. Me, for example. In fact, there are two areas, and Nancy will tell you this is true. And I just cannot break myself. I try, but I can't. When Nancy's cooking, I just get in the way, right? I'm like, you sure you put that in? Is that the right amount? Are you sure? It just drives her crazy. Another thing, too, is when she's driving the car and I'm sitting in the passenger seat, I just want to take the wheel, right? And not that she's not a good driver, she is, and a good cook, she is. It's just I need to have that control, I think. One example of this that kind of takes control to a ridiculous length was on the episode of Seinfeld, where George was in the diner and his girlfriend was breaking up with him. And she says, and he says, why? I thought everything was going great. And then she kind of leans into him and says, it's not you, it's me. And he gets all offended. He says, it's not, you're giving me the it's not you, it's me routine? I invented it's not you, it's me. Nobody says it's them and not me. If it's anybody, it's me. And so she goes, okay, it's you. And he goes, you're darn right, it's me. So it really wasn't the breakup that was the problem. Okay, he wanted to be in control of the breakup. Control can be a real issue. And we certainly see that in this text. I see in this text Jesus, especially at the end, kind of switching everything upside down and saying to his disciples, no, it's not you, it's me. Now, it doesn't start off very good, this text. In fact, there are only two instances in the Gospels that I can find where Peter doesn't get the first word in. Or do the first thing. I mean, almost always Peter says the first thing or does the first thing, usually wrong. But there are two cases where that doesn't take place. And it's always James and John who jump ahead of him. The first one was where Jesus and his disciples were not welcomed into a Samaritan village, so they'd have to stay somewhere else for the night. And James and John asked Jesus for the power to rain down fire and brimstone, killing every man, woman, and child in the community. That's really nice. Okay, that was one time they jumped the gun. And this is the second time where they say to Jesus, make us number one and number two disciple. You read the other Gospels too and you see that they even got mom involved. I mean, come on, right? Now, before we criticize them too much, they do get one thing right. Okay, they realized and trusted that Jesus was going to come into his glory. Now, I don't think they really could fully conceive of what that meant, but they trusted that Jesus' future was a good one, and they knew it was going to happen, and they wanted to be number one and number two when it did happen. Now, how did they get it so wrong? When you continue on with what Jesus says here, it's clear that they do not understand what Jesus means by the cup that he has to drink from and the baptism he has to receive. They can't conceive that he's talking about his suffering and his death. Now, they get it wrong. And the other disciples, it says, are indignant at them. Now, I really don't think that they were indignant because, well, James and John should know better. They should be humble like us. I think they're indignant because they didn't think of it first. And so what Jesus does is says, okay, it's time for a timeout here. He takes them aside and he goes, okay, I'm going to teach you what discipleship's all about. And I'm going to teach you about a radical version of discipleship. And he says, you have to serve everybody. You have to be the slave of all. You need to be like me, and you need to give your life. Now, it's very easy at that point in this text to just say, that's the point of this text. And just say, okay, what Jesus is saying to us is he wants us to serve everybody. And if we imitate him in serving everybody, we are his disciples, amen. That's great. Not the point of the text. It's not the point Jesus is trying to make by explaining who he is and who they are. It's simply not the point. What he's saying to them, keep in mind, he's not really saying to them, you need to serve, primarily, especially verse 45, which is one of the most important verses of the Bible. Verse 45, he's saying, no. It's not you serve, it's I serve. It's not you, it's me. In other words, we didn't need someone to come to this earth to bring us life lessons and to encourage us to serve. We didn't need someone here to create disciples so that they could serve him. That's not what Jesus came to do. In fact, he comes to describe something that only he can do. Earlier in this chapter is when Jesus says how hard it is for a rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven. It's easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle. Now, at this point, the disciples finally get it right, and they say, well, then it's impossible. And Jesus says, yes, for people it is impossible, but for God, nothing is impossible. And so that's what we have to see him saying here. What he does in verse 45, again, I'll read these words, they're very important. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. In those words, he's not just describing, okay, Christianity, he's changing Christianity. He's making Christianity the gospel, good news, and not just another religion of laws and rules that need to be followed. Let's face it. Don't we all know down deep that we're supposed to serve people? And that we're supposed to care for people? Doesn't every Muslim know that? And Hindu? And Baha'i? And everyone? I mean, Buddhists? They all know that. They all teach the same thing. Because deep down we all know we should serve and care. Atheists understand that they're supposed to serve and care for one another. And they certainly don't have Jesus to tell them that, or even a God for that matter. We don't need someone to remind us that we need to serve and to care. We need someone to die for us, to forgive our sin, to redeem us, and to give us new Christian lives that are open to first receive his service, because that's the only way anything's going to get done in our life. Years ago, when we brought Nathaniel home from the hospital after he was born. For a long time, right, 24/7, Nancy and I are serving him. Okay, in a lot of different ways we didn't understand and didn't know how. We made a few mistakes, what can I tell you? But that's just the way it goes. But we were constantly serving him. He certainly wasn't serving us. I mean, he smiled, he cried, he slept, he ate. He just did all the things that baby did, but they didn't serve us at all. Now, let's say in some bizarre incident at that time, let's say he's a month old, he decides that he's going to serve us and he's not going to accept our service anymore. What would the result of that be? He would die. Primarily, things do not begin with us serving Jesus. He didn't come to this world so we could create disciples to see if they measure up. It doesn't work that way. He came to do what only God could do, to serve us, to give his life on a cross. Because he is the only one who makes it possible for us to enter into the kingdom of heaven. His service is the only way we can be called children of God. His service is the only reason we can go home in peace today. And his service, and first and primarily his service, is the only way we will ever be able to serve other people in this life. Because he didn't come to be served, but to serve and to offer his life as a ransom for many and for each and every one of us. I pray that we always get that, what comes first, and that's Jesus coming to serve us. And I pray that he helps us day by day to enter into the kingdom, as he says, the only way we can, and that is as children. Who have to be served, and being served, who are empowered to serve others. In Jesus' name, amen.